This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let me ask Ross Tucker here. He joins us on the line. Ross Tucker, Radio.com Insider. Brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, 2020's Pro Football Pick'em. Turn your football picks into $10,000 at radio.com/picks. Ross, we were getting into this a little earlier this week. Joe Mixon just signed a $48 million deal. They're working on Kamara. But, boy, you really look, and Kamara plays for a really good football team. But you look across the league, it seems like the guys who get paid a lot of money who are running backs, they're usually on not very good football teams. The really good football teams, it just doesn't seem to be in their cards to pay their running backs. And if the Browns get things turned around, I wonder about whether or not they're going to think about paying Nick Chubb here, Ross.
You know, it's an interesting observation, although I think the Saints are going to pay Alvin Kamara, you know, within the next couple days. So I guess at least on that part of it, that would be a good team that would have a highly paid running back. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Rams were pretty good when Gurley was highly paid for them before his knee, you know, got shot on him. You know what happens, I think? A lot of these situations, like Christian McCaffrey, like, what are the Panthers going to do? Like, let him go? I mean, he's the face of the franchise. He's their best player. You know, they have a new coaching staff. The last thing they want is for their best player with a new coaching staff to hold out. I mean, I think some of these teams get in these situations where it's almost like the same argument with, you can't win a Super Bowl if you've got a quarterback that you're paying $35, $40 million. That sounds good until it's your guy that is about to be a free agent, right? Like, so, oh, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't pay a quarterback $35. Well, what if Baker Mayfield has an awesome season and you guys are as convinced as ever that he is going to be the long-term answer? What are you going to do? You're going to be like, oh, no, we'll let Baker go. It's our only good quarterback in like 20 years, but we don't want to pay him that much. Like, it just doesn't happen.
And I actually, Ross, because when I look at the Saints, and let me even throw Joe Mixon into this mix. I actually kind of like the timeline because it's okay. You got one guy at the end of his career. Damn the torpedoes. Let's get this guy signed because Kamara might be able to help out Taysom Hill or somebody else. When it comes to the Bengals, I don't have to pay Joe Burrow for a few years at least, so I have Joe Mixon there to help. But, man, you look around. Saquon Barkley, great running back, probably will get paid, not a good football team. Zeke Elliott, up and down, who really knows? Le'Veon Bell got paid, and he's on a terrible football team. And I think, man, I want the Browns to do well, and I'm a huge Nick Chubb fan. I like him personally. I love him as a running back. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you look at what they do. If they get to 10-6, 11-5, and they're able to do it two consecutive years, he just might not be in the cards.
I think there's a middle ground there, and I think Andrew Berry knows this from his time in Philadelphia, but I think there's a middle ground there where you're able to get the guy signed early for a reasonable amount of money, but the structure that you like. You can get out of it after a couple of years if you need to. I mean, your point's well taken, but that would be how I look at it, is just, I think you're able, if you do it early and you don't make him the highest paid guy in the league, and I think some of these running backs, and hopefully Chubb will be the same, I think they're starting to realize, like, I better get what I can get when I can get it, as opposed to trying to, you know, top this guy or top that guy. Someone's going to give me what Derrick Henry got or what Joe Mixon got, I'm taking it because of the position I play.
Ross Tucker joining us on the hotline. Can you imagine being a rookie coming into the NFL, being asked to switch to left tackle and being drafted to do just that, and then having no preseason games and this really bizarre offseason and lead up to the season? Well, that's Jedrick Wills. How difficult a task is that going to be for him?
Well, it's definitely hard, although I think, you know, they pretty much told him after the draft. So I'd like to think, you know, the hardest part isn't going against other guys as much as just getting your body used to it, just getting your left-handed stance, you know, muscle memory, those type of things. So I'd like to think that Jedrick has been doing nothing but left tackle since late April, and he's comfortable at that position. I actually got switched my rookie year from guard to tackle, and then on a week's notice, they put me at left tackle, which I couldn't believe it. So I think he'll be okay. It's not ideal that he's not getting the preseason games, but, I mean, he's going against Myles Garrett and Olivier Vernon, those guys. I mean, he's not going to go against anybody better than Myles Garrett. So he's getting plenty of good work.
What's it going to be like for these players, knowing the crowd noise is going to be almost non-existent? We had Joel Bitonio on earlier in the show. Ken asked him about, well, what that's going to mean. What does it mean for audibling? What does it mean for the defense and everybody trying to pick up each other's signs?
That's the part I can't wait to hear. And I know that they're doing the artificial noise deal, and they're probably doing the artificial noise deal so that, you know, if guys swear or whatever, it doesn't go over the air. But I didn't want that. I wanted to be able to just listen and hear what everybody was saying out there. The thing is, though, unless it's really crowded, you know, the D-line can already hear what the O-line calls are, which is why continuity and chemistry is so important. You know, like when you're – I'll give you an example, guys. When you're next to a guy for the first time, as an offensive lineman, you make the call. So you'll say deuce, and that's a double team guard and tackle to the backside linebacker. And so the D tackles, they're not the brightest guys, but they're not that dumb. They'll figure that out, right? The deuce is a double team. Well, when you've been next to a guy for a while, you know, like Treader and Bitonio, you don't even say that. And really, you get to the point where you give dummy calls. You say the wrong thing to try to throw the guys off. So that's why continuity and chemistry on the offensive line are so important. I think what will be different this year is, like, I mean, the offense might be able to hear the defense changing the coverages. Usually you can't hear that. So I'm as excited as anyone to see what that new dynamic is like.
Oh, I got to get my mic on. It was sticking there for a second. Ross Tucker joining us at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. All right, so you're asking about the sound. There's been a lot of people, like I heard Jeff Diamond yesterday bring up, you know, any new coach with this situation, if they can even approach 500, I'll be surprised. All right, what about the Browns? We got a new coach, new situation, no OTAs, no mini camp. What's your outlook for this season for this team?
Yeah, you know, I was, as you guys remember, I was not high on the Browns last year. I told everybody on the Even Money podcast to take the under. Now, last time I checked, it was 8.5. That's pretty high still. I mean, I think it's the right number. If I had to, I'd probably take the over, though. You know, I had the hernia surgery that Odell Beckham Jr. just had. I think he's going to come back and have a huge year. I think Stefanski is going to figure out how to feed OBJ, and he's going to be totally healthy. You know, you've got guys like Odell and Baker Mayfield that really realize that this is a huge year for both of them. I mean, if Baker's bad this year, you know, they're not going to give him a new contract after this year, and that they're going to start to make some decisions there potentially with the new regime there. And same with Odell Beckham Jr. He realizes the shine is off him a little bit. So I'm high on the Browns. I think that they are an 8 or 9 win football team. So I think the 8.5 is right about where it should be. It wouldn't shock me if they got to 10. It's just tough because, you know, the Steelers, I think, with Big Ben are going to be pretty darn good. So it's tough for me to get the Browns to 10 wins if I still have them third in the division.
Boy, I will definitely take 9 wins because I've been told this is how damaged we've been over the last year. Ross had a meltdown earlier this week because if I say that, hey, I'm worried a little bit about him because I haven't got a chance to see him. It's just been a weird year. Like, we haven't been able to argue really about players because no one's been able to really take a look at him. And I wonder, okay, if they go out and they lose to Baltimore week one, it's Baltimore. Okay, that happens. But if they were to lose to the Bengals on that Thursday night and it's Joe Burrow, it's going to be an ugly Friday morning. Well, I get yelled at for being negative. But if I say that I think that they should be 9-7, and the reason is that you tank this thing out 2 years and you need to set a standard, and it should be, I shouldn't be crazy for asking for a game over 500 with this team, then I get called a homer on this. We don't really know how to react when it comes to this team because it's just been all over the place. With Kevin Stefanski on this football team as the head coach, how do I know you played? How do I know he's the right guy?
Well, first of all, his name's not Freddie Kitchens, which is a good start. So that's a good start. Number two, I think you'll know pretty early. I mean, you guys, it was pretty obvious pretty early on a bunch of different levels that Freddie Kitchens wasn't the guy last year. I think you'll know some game situation, game planning. I think you'll know about a month in. Now, listen, I say that, and I'm about to be hypocritical, because when I was with the Redskins, the Washington football team now in 2001, with Marty Schottenheimer, we started off 0-5, and it was his first and only year there. Then we won the next five. And then even in Buffalo in 04 with Mike Mularkey, we started off 0-4. So I think in general you usually get a sense with the decisions the guys are making early in the year whether or not they're the right guy. But I don't know that you want to get too carried away with the record just because of the two examples I just gave. So I basically just talked out of both sides of my mouth, kind of like all the fans feel like you guys are doing when you say 8 wins or 10 wins or whatever.
It does happen from time to time. Ross Tucker with us on the hotline. You're an Ivy Leaguer. Most Ivy Leaguers never fail to bring that up in conversation, so I thought I'd beat you to the punch. Ivy League was the first conference fully to shut down. Then we saw the Big Ten and the Pac-12. We're trying to learn more and more about the virus and playing with the virus. The South is full speed ahead. What do you make of all this? What are the concerns you would have, or do you think the Big Ten should get going?
Well, I can tell you right now, I am in line to get my COVID test for Middle Tennessee State at Army tomorrow on CBS Sports Network. So I'm on a college campus, I guess an Army base. I'm doing a college football game on TV tomorrow. And so it's bizarre to me that I'll be doing Middle Tennessee State Army tomorrow on CBS Sports Network, and yet the Big Ten is not playing football. Like, there's just something wrong there. And what's so frustrating is every time information comes out, it gets debunked elsewhere. You know, a lot of people are saying it's political, or a lot of people are saying it's legal liability. And listen, all of that might be true. But at some point, we need to get a little more consensus from the doctors. I mean, you've got the Penn State guy saying yesterday 30-35%. Of Big Ten athletes have myocarditis. Then they ask the NFL, and the NFL says, actually, we're at zero. So that doesn't make any sense. So then, you know, the Big Ten or whoever this guy is had to come out and say and clarify, well, it's not really 30-35%. That's just what I heard. Somebody told me that. It's like, what are we doing here? I mean, here's the thing. There's going to be fallout. And I don't know, you know, what happens with the commissioner, but it's a really bad thing for the Big Ten. And I don't mean just missing games. I just think you guys know the way recruiting is. It's going to be they don't care about football as much as we do. It's not as important to them. I mean, it's disastrous at this point. And so now whatever they do, they're kind of going to be wrong, right? They're not going to do this October thing because then that would be admitting they were wrong. My guess is they'll wait and do the January thing.
Yeah, but admitting they're wrong makes them money still. So isn't that still the most important thing in all of this?
Well, so if admitting they're wrong and starting October 10th and playing 10 games or whatever it is that is it different money-wise than if they play 8 to 10 games in January, February? Yeah, I mean, you'd have to tell me, but I don't know what the difference is money-wise if they play October, November, December versus January, February.
Well, March. I wonder if they can get in on the TV deal that would come with a playoff, even though Dabo Swinney says, no, we're not waiting. We got to go full speed ahead. I wonder if that would change the economic dynamics.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think if the economic dynamic was that important, they would. And look, we all know it's always important, but they wouldn't have canceled it or postponed it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Ross, I mean, honestly, gosh, okay, I got less than a minute. I got to ask, why are the Kansas City Chiefs not going to be a dynasty? Tell me.
Because dynasties are really, really hard. And every time there's a young team that wins a Super Bowl, everybody's like, oh, man, Russell Wilson, Legion of Boom, Pete Carroll, they're a dynasty. Or Aaron Rodgers and McCarthy and Clay Matthews and Charles Woodson, probably going to be the first of many. Meanwhile, these teams never win another one. The Seahawks only even got back once. Look, I wouldn't be shocked if over the next 5 years the Chiefs win another one. But these talks of like, oh, they're definitely they're going to win three or four, I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, since in the last 27 years, there's been one team that's been a dynasty, and it's been the Patriots. And they have probably the best coach and best quarterback ever.
Ross, I can't thank you enough again. Take care, my friend. All the best.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
You too. Ross Tucker, Radio.com Insider. Ross Tucker brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. 2020's Pro Football Pick'em. Turn your football picks into $10,000 at Radio.com/picks. Lot to break down there. Says Kevin Stefanski's the guy because he's not Freddie Kitchens. Daryl Ryder at 9:20. We'll figure out who's on the bubble. Who's in? Who's off this 53-man roster then? It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.